All right. Well, you remember a while back I had all of our students submit questions for things that I could answer for them? Well, I've got one of those this morning. And I'm going to read it for you, and then we're going to try to answer this, okay? You ready? Here's the question. Are family members or friends who are in heaven able to watch over me while I'm on earth? So here's the question again. Are family members and friends who are in heaven able to watch over me while I'm on earth? What do you think about that? To help me understand this, to help you understand this, how about I draw some pictures this morning? You like to draw? You want to come down while I draw some pictures? Okay, here we go. Well, let me draw for you, okay? Let's go with, like this. What's this looking like? It is looking kind of like a house, isn't it? All right, so let's think about a house here, and then let's have some people here. This is my little stick figures, because I hadn't got time to do more than that. And here's you. And this could be your mom or your dad. It could be a grandma. It could be whoever, okay? This is an adult that usually watches over you. So when you're at home, let's imagine this is your home, okay? Does your home look like that? Well, it does now. Okay, so imagine that this is your home, and you're there with your mom or your grandma or whoever it may be, and then there's you. Is this person watching over you? Well, sure, they're standing right there, even holding your hand. Look at that. Does your mom or your grandma ever hold your hand while you're doing something just to make sure you're staying in line and doing the right thing? Yes, the answer is yes. Okay, let's get another picture. All right, we're going to just kind of make something up here, all right? What's this looking like so far? You're not sure? It looks kind of like a house, but it looks different than a house, doesn't it? Does it? What if I write something up here? What does that say? It says school, yeah. So your school may not look like that. And this, it wouldn't have to be a school. I could have drawn something else. I could have drawn your friend's house. I could have drawn the church. But let's go with this now. It is, you're right. So here we have a bunch of little kids going to church. Do you fit into that category? Or to school, rather. Now, here's what we got. Remember this picture? Who's this? It's your mom or your grandma, whoever it may be, your dad. So they're watching over you. And then you go to school. And here you are at school. Now, where's mom? She's not at school, is she? No, she's probably at home, or maybe she's gone to a job. And so while she's at home or at a job or whatever, and you're here, is she watching over you? No, because she's not there. So what do you think she's doing to make sure you're taken care of? I bet she's praying to God. So if we think about that, whenever you're at home, mom or dad or whoever is praying for you, but they're also looking after you, then when you go someplace where they're not, then they're still praying for you. And who's taking care of you? No one? God is. Very good. Because God is all places at all times. No one on earth. And so here's what I want us to remember. Your parent can only be at one place at a time. Now, the question was, do our loved ones in heaven watch over us? Well, when you go to heaven, when I go to heaven, I'm still going to be a person. I'm still going to be a human. And so I'm only going to be able to be at one place at one time. So when I'm in heaven, I'm not on earth. And so if I go to heaven and you're still going to school, then I can't watch over you. But God can, because God is everywhere at once. Now, maybe, in answer to the question, maybe your parent is praying for you even while they're in heaven. I don't really know for sure. But the reason they would do that is because they know they can't take care of you, but God can, because God can always provide for us. Yes? Is this going to be a long story? Because I got some other things I'm going to have to do. A couple of days ago, you know what? Whatever happened a couple of days ago, I'd like for you to come and tell me about it later so that I can listen to your whole story without feeling interrupted. But we're going to rejoice today that God always takes care of us, even when our loved ones can't. So let's pray together. Thank you, God, for reminding us that even though a mom or a dad or a grandparent can only be at one place at one time and they can't always be with us, that you are always with us. So we rejoice in that today. Whether our parents are here or in heaven, or grandparents are here or in heaven, they might be praying for us, but you are the one who takes care of us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You can go to Children's Church or back to your pew, wherever you're going. Thank you for coming down and joining me. Okay. Well, it looks like Grandma, who is looking after you right now and no doubt also praying, is right there. So why don't you head that direction? Well, since I don't think we have any first-time guests with us here today, then I think all of us are very familiar with the Search the Scriptures format that we use here. And since in second service, I'm going to have a significant chunk of time taken up by the baptism itself, then I've decided that we would do Search the Scriptures this morning. So I'll just get right to it. First question, first service. And this one was submitted right at 3 years ago. What does the Bible say about extraterrestrial life? What does the Bible say about extraterrestrial life? Okay, I'm thinking about Colossians. Let's see what we've got here. Yeah, I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 1. There are several passages that we could look at that deal with extraterrestrial life, but I think that we got a good summary here in Colossians chapter 1. We're speaking about Jesus Christ, and we read in verse 15 that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him, that is by Jesus Christ, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This tells us that regardless of what we're talking about, it was made by God. Specifically, this tells us it was made by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is responsible for everything that has ever been made, for everything that has ever come into existence.
Jesus Christ is the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity. We have God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is one God, three persons. It is beyond our ability to fully comprehend, but we accept it by faith because the scriptures are crystal clear on that. And God, the triune Godhead alone, has always existed for eternity. There was never a beginning, there will never be an end. But everything else has come into existence. And according to this, all things were created by Jesus Christ. All things visible and invisible, so it doesn't matter whether you're talking about something that you cannot see. If it exists, it was created by Jesus Christ. And he adds, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. I'll let you do your own study to find out what each of those particular titles might reference. But the truth is that this is an inclusive statement meant to communicate that regardless of what you're talking about, it fits into the category of having been created by Jesus Christ. And so that means if we have extraterrestrial life, and I would argue that we do, but I'll explain more about that in just a moment, that if we have extraterrestrial life, terrestrial meaning having to do with this globe, extra meaning having to do with something that is beyond this globe, this earth, then that extraterrestrial life was created by Almighty God. Now, as he goes on here, he talks about things that everything is going to be held together by Jesus Christ himself. That means that just like us, he did not merely create us and then let go and let us do our own thing. It feels like we do our own thing, but the truth is Jesus Christ is always here. God is always present. Everything is under his ultimate control. And that would go for all other life as well and for all of this universe. So I know that the question, generally speaking, has to do with, you know, the ET type thing. We're talking about some creatures that come from some other planets. It doesn't matter, even if there were, it was created by God. It was created by Jesus Christ because this scripture makes it clear. Not only that, but even if those things do exist, even if extraterrestrial life does exist in some form or another, even beyond what we might be able to fully comprehend, it does tell me specifically that it all is going to culminate in coming together for God's ultimate purposes in Jesus Christ as he makes all things as they were intended to be. So that means there is nothing outside of God's reach. There's nothing outside of God's control. There's nothing that exists that God did not himself create. And ultimately, all things are going to be brought together, verse 20 says, to reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven. And we could use the heaven in any sense that you want to use it here. The first heavens would be our atmosphere. The second heavens would be the universe that we see around us with all of the stars and galaxies. The third heavens would be the abode of God. Everything in all of heaven is going to be reconciled to Jesus Christ. That's what we read in the scripture. Now, since the question undoubtedly has to do with creatures that are not of this world, the simplest answer to that is that describes angels. God created angels not as a part of this terrestrial creation, but as something that is outside of this terrestrial creation. We don't have a lot of information aside from the fact that repeatedly we read in the scriptures that God is the creator of those things. Matter of fact, in our study in Hebrews, if we remember back in chapter 1, the emphasis was on the fact that every angel has been created by God. Not only that, well, let's turn back there. I mean, how can we go without a study in Hebrews, right? Chapter 1. Let's start in verse 3. He is the radiance, speaking of Jesus Christ, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And then he talks about angels. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? If you remember back when we were studying in chapter 1, this is an emphasis upon no matter how great any particular angel may be, that angel is not God. It is not the Son of God. Jesus Christ alone holds that position. Or again, the second part of verse 5, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, verse 6, when he brings the firstborn into the world, let all God's angels worship him. So even at the incarnation, which is when the eternal God the Son, Jesus Christ, took on a fleshly body and was born to Mary here on this earth. That was not the beginning of Jesus. That was the beginning of Jesus' earthly life. But he existed for eternity before that. And when he came at that particular point, it says, let all God's angels worship him. And we got just a glimpse of that, even in the nativity story, where we have the announcement being made to the angels, and all of a sudden all of heaven lit up as these angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest because of this particular phenomenal event. It was a once-in-eternity event, and all God's angels were worshiping. I'm convinced that whatever the shepherds saw, they didn't see everything there was to see, but they were overwhelmed with what they did see. So there was made visible, at least for this short time, many angels who were all proclaiming God's glory. So even as we think, and you could read on there in Hebrews, but even as we think about the place that extraterrestrial beings have in God's plan, since the best explanation about extraterrestrial beings is spiritual beings that are created by God, whom we would typically refer to as angels, and since these angels are ultimately serving the purposes of God, and since God's purposes include redeeming mankind to himself, and he calls on all the angels to participate in the celebration of that event at the incarnation. And again, Jesus says, even at the crucifixion, do you not think that I could call 10,000 angels right here on the spot and they would come and do exactly what's needed? So it's not like they've got some other business out there that doesn't include God. They are all serving God. Now, we do know that there are rebellious angels that we would now refer to as demons, and that would include Satan himself, the devil, who have rebelled against God's purposes. Those beings also exist, but they themselves are being allowed by the sovereignty of God to carry on their evil purposes only for a time, and ultimately, because God has his plan to work all things together for good, Romans 8:28 says, for those God loves who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, with regards to are there other beings on other planets, I will now share a personal attitude, a personal perspective, and say, I don't think so. I don't think there's any possibility of that. But even in the event that I am proved wrong, what I can say to you is whatever God has created out there ultimately is going to fit into the plan of God that we see briefly described in the scriptures. There is not another race with a different plan of salvation. We know that. The scriptures are very clear. This is the center. According to what we read in the Bible, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created the earth to be where he would place mankind. So if there is something else out there, somehow or another, it fits into God's plan that includes us, by the way. Because the ultimate ruler of all things is God. The ultimate ruler of this universe, of all things, is God the Son, Jesus Christ, who is going to be preeminent for eternity. And the Bible tells us that when all things are said and done, we, believe it or not, we human beings who have been saved by the grace of God are going to rule and reign with Christ. That means whatever else is out there, it's got to involve us. And it will involve us to the extent that we, along with Jesus Christ, are going to rule for eternity, all things. So don't imagine to yourself that we've got other beings out there that have some other plan of God that is separate from what we read about in the Holy Scriptures. Now, I will confess that when I think about the nature of our eternal God, it baffles me to no end. Because based on what I read in Scripture, and this is another question that no doubt is in this bag, based on what I read in Scripture, I believe this earth is probably just around 6,000 years old. That's my personal belief. Whether it's 6,000, 6 million, or 6 billion years, what is that compared to eternity? Right? So even if I were to acknowledge with those who generally reject the truth about the scriptures and the truth about God, even if I were to say, okay, I believe that the universe is billions of years old, at some point, the universe had to come into existence. Who made that happen? God. Jesus Christ, according to what we just read in Colossians chapter 1. Everything came into existence because of Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter where you put the timeline in terms of when it happened. And here's where things get really twisted. That means that before God ever created the heavens and the earth, the universe, there was an eternity of time. Now that blows my mind, because think about it in these terms. Did God wait for literally eternity before he ever did anything? That's an impossibility. Of course, we also recognize that time itself is an invention of God, it's a creation of God. God does not exist in time. God exists outside of time, which means God is the creator of time as we know it, and we measure time merely by existence. And so we come into existence at some point, we measure time, and then we end this life and we go into the presence of God. But there is no time with God. And so what was God doing before he created the universe? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us. When did God create angelic beings? The Bible doesn't tell us. We don't have that kind of information. There's conjecture. Some would say he did that immediately when he created the heavens and the earth. Some would say it was before he created the heavens and the earth. We just don't know that. But what we do know, and again, this gets back to the question at hand, does the Bible say anything about extraterrestrial life? The only thing the Bible says about extraterrestrial life is that all life that exists exists by the creation of God and serves his ultimate purposes. Okay, comment, question? Well, we are out of time already, right? We don't have a closing song, do we? Okay, well, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to worship you. I thank you for the reminder, even as we've read in scriptures right now, that you are the creator of all things, that our Savior Jesus Christ is the creator of heaven and earth and all things that exist, that nothing came into existence except what Jesus Christ actually ordained to come into existence. And Lord, I know that we have a world that is preoccupied with trying to discover mysteries like extraterrestrial life, and we can look into those things, Lord, but ultimately all the right answers, all the true answers are going to be coming from your holy word and from you yourself. And so I pray that you would help us to put our emphasis where it belongs, and that is to bring you glory as you created all things to do. All things, all people, all beings ultimately will bring you glory, and we thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunity we've had to worship together today, and I pray for your blessings on our discipleship class and Sunday school classes that are going to follow here in a few minutes. Bless each of my brothers and sisters here. In Jesus' name, amen.